To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Amen. Our Bible text for today comes from the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, beginning with the first verse, the episode immediately following our Old Testament lesson for this morning. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Thus far the Holy Word. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who gives us our food in due season, dear fellow redeemed. What is the perfect food? You may think you know the answer to that question. You may think that it's a question no one can answer. However, the Ballard Fish and Oyster Company would disagree with you if you said that. On their website, they give an impassioned and rather compelling argument that there is such a thing as a perfect food. They say it's clams. Many nutritionists might agree with them. This native of Northwest beaches is high in protein and low in carbohydrates and fat. There's only 135 calories in a serving of 12 clams, and it's even rather economical, at least compared with other seafood. Clams notwithstanding, I believe most of us would realize that there is not a perfect food, or rather, there isn't one food that's perfect for everyone. Different people need different kinds of food. And if that's the case in the physical world, it's even more true in the spiritual world. Have you ever been hungry for something but couldn't quite figure out what it was? Perhaps your spiritual nutrition has been suffering somewhat recently. Or maybe it's worse than that. Maybe you feel like you've reached the end of your rope and that you're completely out of spiritual energy. Either way, you'll be encouraged by our text for this morning. In it, Elijah discovers that even when we think we can't go another step, our Lord Jesus provides us with just the nutrition we need for the journey that he has in mind for us. That's why our theme for this morning is Christ supplies the perfect food for you. It will always come at the perfect time, it will always be the perfect kind, and it will always be the perfect amount. Have you ever noticed that life's lowest points quite often come right after some of life's highest points? You have some kind of great success in your life, and you're riding high, you feel wonderful, everything's going along great. And then, seemingly out of nowhere, falls the blow. The heart attack or stroke, the diagnosis of cancer, the loss of a loved one, the huge financial bill you weren't expecting. Well, think of Elijah. Here he was. He had just had the best day of his life. We heard in our Old Testament lesson about his victory over the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. He was doing great. This was like winning the Super Bowl for him. He was on his way. He was strong. God was with him. I'm sure Elijah thought he was unstoppable. He was going to eradicate the worship of Baal once and for all. After all, he was Elijah, the mighty prophet of Jehovah. Then the blow fell. As often as it often happens in the lives of believers, one of the highest points in his life was followed by one of the lowest. Jezebel was the most powerful queen the northern kingdom of Samaria had ever seen, and she was not happy. She personally supported the prophets of Baal, and she was pretty displeased to find out that today there were 450 fewer of them, thanks to Elijah. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." "You know what you did to the prophets at the brook Kishon, Elijah? That's what I'm going to do to you. In 24 hours, it'll be accomplished." It was not an idle threat, and Elijah knew it. Jezebel was very powerful and had armies at her command. Elijah was marked for death. As far as Queen Jezebel was concerned, he was a dead man walking. So what did this mighty prophet of Jehovah do? He panicked. He ran for his life as fast as he could go. He ran far to the south of Israel, to Beersheba, and then he left his servant behind and went a further day's journey into the wilderness of Sinai. Then our text says he came and sat down under a broom tree, which was a large shrub, very closely related, by the way, to the Scotch broom that lines the interstate in our area. Only the blooms in the Mediterranean shrub are white rather than yellow like they are here. In any case, Elijah collapsed under the shade of this shrub with no energy to go any further. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough." Those last words are very expressive. In the Hebrew, rav atah. In Spanish, no mas. In English, that's it. I'm through. I cannot handle this. I have not got the energy to go one step further. "Now, Lord, take my life," Elijah said, "for I am no better than my father's." And he lay down under the broom tree and slept. Probably, he thought, never to awaken. It looked like the end of the line for Elijah. In his weariness and his exhaustion and his hunger, he was ready to give up. But Christ supplies the perfect food, and it always comes at the perfect time. So it did for the prophet. As he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said, "Arise and eat." Have you noticed that Christ's timing is always perfect? He always knows exactly what you need and exactly when you need it. The Lord didn't come to Elijah when he was in Jezreel, and he didn't come to him when he was in Beersheba. He waited until Elijah had gone a day's march into the wilderness, and then Christ came to him, exactly when Elijah was at his lowest ebb, exactly when the prophet needed Christ most. And by now you may have noticed that I'm using the word Christ a lot, and that may puzzle you. Isn't this a long time before Christ was even born? Isn't this 850 years before the events of Christmas in Bethlehem? And it's true that it was. But when our text mentions the angel of the Lord, it uses a very specific Hebrew term, one that we've discussed previously, the term Malach Yahweh, the angel or messenger of the Lord. It was the Malach Yahweh who appeared to Moses at the burning bush. It was the Malach Yahweh who stayed the hand of Abraham when he was about to take the life of his son. It was the Malach Yahweh who commanded Gideon to go forth and battle successfully against the hosts of the Midianites. The Malach Yahweh was much more than just an angel. Since he frequently identifies himself in the Old Testament as the Lord, many scholars consider that this must have been the second person of the Trinity, the pre-incarnate Christ himself. Personally, I agree with Martin Luther, who said, "You can't find Christ too often in the Old Testament." We can be confident that it was none other than the eternal Son of God himself who appeared there to Elijah in the wilderness. And it is Christ who comes to you and supplies you with the perfect food. Why perfect? The second reason it's perfect is because the food your Lord gives you is always the perfect kind. It's just right for you. Elijah lay and slept under a broom tree. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank. The food that Christ gave to Elijah was actually the perfect kind of traveling food. So perfect, in fact, that it is still very common among wandering nomads in the Middle East. A cake baked on coals was a round, flat cake of bread. They'd mix the flour and water and form a dough, and then they would bake it on stones or pebbles that had been warmed in the ashes of a campfire. There it would bake, and it tasted good. It was high in energy, low in fat, really the perfect kind of food for someone who has a long way to travel and can't be weighed down. This is important for Elijah, of course, because he did have a long way to go. But even for Elijah, the spiritual food was more important than the physical. In the depth of his despair and depression, he needed to be reassured that the Lord was still with him, that God was still on his side, even in the midst of these terrible threats. He needed to be reassured that his Redeemer, the promised Messiah, was still there with him to forgive his weakness and his lack of faith, to support him, to accompany him on this journey, which he didn't know how it was going to turn out. So this episode provided the prophet with the perfect kind of food, both physical and spiritual. Let me ask you this, what kind of food is it that you need the most? Well, if you listen to the USDA, it's fruits and vegetables that you need the most. They're at the bottom of the food pyramid, followed by proteins, eggs, dairy products, and meat, and lastly, sugars and fats. But those of us who have been Christians for a while realize that the nutrition we need the most doesn't come from physical food at all. We believe the words of our Lord Jesus when he said, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." What is the perfect food for you, the food you need the most? You ought to know the answer to that by now, because it's occurred in 3 Sundays running now in our New Testament lessons, our gospel lessons. John 6:35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Jesus is the bread of life. He's the perfect food for you. Christ is the food that satisfies the very deepest needs you have in your soul. The need to be rid of your sins. The need to be right with God. The need to know that all those past transgressions and misdeeds of yours have been atoned for, and that your conscience is now unburdened. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the perfect food for that. Our Lord said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." How is this bread from heaven prepared for us? The recipe is simple. The perfect, sinless Son of God was offered up on the altar of God's wrath when he gave his life on Calvary's cross. There on the cross, he suffered for your sins. And there on the cross, he offered the perfect sacrifice to atone for each one of them. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Thus was the bread of life provided. Thus was your perfect food given, the food that will allow you to stand among the assembly of the saints on Judgment Day. Thus was the perfect food provided that will save your soul eternally. Christ supplies the perfect food for you. And by the way, it's always in the right amount. And that's important because you don't know how much you need. You may think you do. No doubt Elijah thought he knew exactly how much food he needed. I imagine he said to himself, "Great, now I've had some of this terrific bread. I've had something to drink. Now I'm all set. I'm prepared. That's all I need." That's what he thought. But the Lord knew better. The Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. You think you know how much energy you need, but you don't. I know, and I will give you the perfect amount." If you've ever been a runner, you may be familiar with the practice of carb loading. It's a strategy used by endurance athletes and runners, triathletes, to maximize the storage of energy in their muscles. They want to deliberately store energy by eating high carbohydrate, low glycemic foods like fruits and vegetables, whole grains, pasta. That's why many marathoners or triathletes have large pasta dinners the night before an event, because they know exactly how many calories they need to get through the particular event that they're going to take part in. Too few, they'll run out of energy. Too many, and they'll be weighed down. The problem is, we Christians don't know how long our course is that we have to run, do we? My life may last 40 more years, maybe over in 40 minutes. We don't know how long our race is that has not been given to us. How far can you see ahead in your life? You might be able to vaguely see to the next corner, the bend in the road, maybe not even that far. But it's different for Jesus. He sees your whole journey, every twist and turn included. He knows exactly what the course of your life will be because he's laid it out for you. He knows exactly what tasks he has set for you to carry out, and he knows just what obstacles you'll encounter in the road of your life. And Christ supplies the perfect food for you in the perfect amount. The most important way you receive the bread of life, of course, is through the means of grace, the gospel in word and sacrament. You receive it when you hear the word preached here in church, or when you read God's word in your family Bible at home. You received it when you entered God's covenant of grace at the time of your baptism, and you receive it in a very special and very personal way in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper that we celebrated last Sunday. And of course, everything else that you need in your life will follow those most important gifts. The writer of the Proverbs offers a prayer that each of us would do well to imitate. "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion." Feed me with the food, literally, that is appropriate for me, that is the portion that God decides is correct for me, not that I decide. And God is very good at portion control. God's very good at deciding what and how much we need. Everything he does in our lives, indeed everything that he allows to happen in our lives, is precisely calibrated to give the maximum spiritual nutrition to his dear children. Even the hard things, you say? Even the painful things? Yes, even those. Christians throughout the centuries had comforted themselves with a promise that appears in Romans 8:28, a promise that I know some of you have already memorized. "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Yes, your God has already prepared your food for you, and you can rest assured that it is exactly the perfect amount. Longtime area icon Ivar Haglund thought that he knew what the perfect food was. Founder of Ivar's Fish Bar in Seattle, Haglund was fond of saying that no one who lives here in our Pacific Northwest can possibly be unhappy because we're surrounded by acres of clams. The perfect food? Maybe not. We've learned today that it's impossible to say that there's a single food it's perfect for everybody. But one thing you can say with absolute confidence Christ supplies the perfect food for you. On your own, the journey is too great for you, but never fear, you are not on your own. The Lord will be with you. He will give you the food you need, the specific supplies that you need for whatever situation you find yourself in. It'll always come at the perfect time. It will always be the perfect kind, and it'll always be in the perfect amount. God grant that our eyes may wait upon Christ, our gracious Lord, for he will give us our food in due season. Amen.